Welcome to the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica Coulthard, your host. And each week I chat with amazing entrepreneurs to share what they've done to ignite their business so that you can ignite yours. Hey, it's Jessica, your host. What if I could tell you why you do everything you do? Would you believe me? Well, I think you should, because I have this incredible assessment that I do for my clients. And for all of my listeners, I'm offering it for free. If you want to send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com, I will hook you up. I will tell you why you do everything you do. I will tell you what your personal driving force, your North Star, the reason you do everything you do, why you make every decision you make. You're going to look back over your life and you'll be able to connect all sorts of dots that you didn't see before. It will blow your mind, I promise. I've been doing this assessment with my clients for the last 4 years. Wow, you nailed me. And the beautiful part is that it's not just about knowing this. It's about I actually will show you how to use it. I will show you how to use it to fix relationships. I'm also going to show you how to get rid of bad habits. We're going to dial this in so easily that this will be a no-brainer. You're going to be like, wow, why didn't I know this before? Why don't they teach this in schools? I'm going to show you how to change any area of your life by stepping back, taking the emotion out, throwing in a little logic, and you're going to be able to brainstorm ideas that you never even saw before. That is the power of this assessment. So send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com and I'll hook you up. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Tonight I have Scott Walker, the founder of Tiaho. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jessica. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today.
Yeah, you're coming from beautiful Banff tonight.
That's right. Yeah, I'm immensely grateful to live here. I didn't grow up in this area, but you know, a number of years ago, I was working in Japan and I was thinking, you know what? Where am I going to live when I come back to Canada? And out of everywhere I had been in Canada, this was always my favorite place. And when I came back to Canada, I didn't come here right away. However, I ended up here. And yeah, I'm just truly grateful to be here. Very fortunate to live in a national park with a lot of wildlife around and mountains and streams and all that stuff.
Yeah. And I just want to mention that as I'm speaking to you, that you have this beautiful nature trees background behind you, and it's very inspiring. So everyone can't see you, but I thought that I should at least let them share in what I get to see. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, thanks. And the nice thing with that, I know the last time we chatted, I did it and I'll do it again. It covers up the beautiful cinder block wall. So it's a little more, inspiring than a white cinder block wall, but yeah, I love love the nature tapestry. It's a beautiful background. That's for sure.
I'm enjoying it. So thank you.
You're welcome.
So Scott, please, can you tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Certainly. Thanks for asking. So I'm the founder of Tiaho. And if you've never heard that word before, that is totally understandable. Tiaho is an indigenous word from New Zealand. And the indigenous people in New Zealand are called the Maori people. And essentially, that word, Tiaho, is really special to me. When I was first diagnosed with bipolar disorder, I was actually in a hospital in Auckland, New Zealand. And the ward that I was in the psychiatric hospital, was called Tiaho Mai. So when I was discharged, I took a business card and then I researched the name, and Tiaho means to shine from within. And I just love that meaning. I love that visualization. And it truly reinforces and reminds all of us that we all do truly shine from within. And I know at times it can not feel that way, depending on what people are going through, but I do believe we all shine in different ways. And yeah, another reason I love that word Tiaho is my father came from New Zealand. So I'm a dual citizen of New Zealand. I've been fortunate to have been there quite a few times. And another reason I love that word Tiaho is that it is an indigenous word. And I do find that the older I get, the more respect and the more curiosity I have about indigenous teachings, learnings, the respect of the earth, the respect of elders, etc. And Yeah, so Tiaho, my business, it has three areas of focus, and they're all different, however, interrelated. So one area is I'm a mental stability specialist, and essentially I have offerings and I do coaching for people to have more consistent mental stability. And I mostly help people diagnosed with bipolar disorder. That being said, I have had clients who do not have a diagnosed mental illness. They're people that, I'll just say, struggle with mood, struggle with depression. And so I have had clients without a mental illness. So that's one area of my business, is the mental stability specialist coaching. The second part of Tiaho is I'm a Universal Sphere instructor and practitioner. And there again, if people have never heard of Universal Sphere before, totally understandable. It's a pretty new spiritual energy tool. And it's a very quick and easy way for people to, I'll just say, feel connected and raise their vibration and feel calmer, relaxed, more energized. And in layman's terms, I would just say, for anyone listening that's heard of Reiki or experienced Reiki, I'll just say it's similar to that, just so at least it's not totally out in la la land.
Then,
yeah, exactly. And then the third part of Tiaho that I love is I lead mental health awareness events, and I've been doing that since 2015. And coming up at the end of July, friends and I are doing our 7th annual bipolar awareness fundraising hike. So I'm very excited about that. It's called Banff 24 Hours for Bipolar. And we hike a smaller mountain in Banff called Tunnel Mountain. It's about 750 feet high, or about 250 meters. And essentially there's 7 friends and I will be hiking for 24 hours. And it's not a race. However, we still end up doing a lot of mileage and a lot of vertical. And then every 6 hours, we'll be taking a break to stretch and eat. And, you know, it depends on health guidelines here in Alberta, but right now it's looking very promising. And there's a very good chance that other people will be able to join us again this year. And last year and the year before for that same event, we had 70 to 90 people join us. So they do a lap, which takes roughly an hour and a quarter, or they do a couple laps, or some people would do a lap early and then come back the next day. And then we had some people do 12 hours, some did 6 hours. So it's an amazing event, and we raise money for 2 very worthy causes. And I'm very fortunate that I always have some sort of media that gets involved, whether it's a radio interview, a newspaper interview. One time I had a live TV interview after the event. So, it's honestly, personally, like one of the, if not the highlights of my entire year, is that event as a person. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, so essentially those are the three parts of Tiaho, of my business. And like I say, they're all separate, however, they're all related in different ways.
Awesome. So how did you come to want to help other people deal with their mental stability and just, having a better quality of life?
That's a great question. The main reason I wanted to help people is that I find that, again, I have to be careful because I don't want to sound judgmental. However, I do find that it's getting better. However, in my experience, a lot of the traditional medical help that we receive in Canada, it tends to be focused on medication, and it tends to be focused on certain tools. And some of those tools they use are great, and some of them don't resonate with people. And I just found that a lot of the tools that I was taught, or I learned, or that I had sessions with therapists, coaches, psychologists, psychiatrists with, I would learn these tools or these resources that they'd share with me, and they just didn't work, or they didn't fit, or they didn't resonate. And, you know, I can tell a funny story just really quickly. I remember after one of my manic episodes, I was seeing a psychiatrist in the hospital where I had stayed for a week, and I was seeing him on an outpatient basis. So about a month after I was out of the hospital, I was back to normal life, and I was in a session with him, and I said to him, hey, I'd really like to check out some resources and your psychiatrist, like, what would you suggest? And he got all excited. He's like, oh yeah, I've got this amazing book. And I said, well, great. I love reading. And then I see him reaching up on the shelf and he pulls out this 700-page book and puts it down in front of me. He says, this is an amazing book. And I was just honest with him. I said, thanks for sharing. I have no desire to read that. He's like, why? I said, it's 700 pages. So I mean, that experience and some other ones in terms of wanting to help people, I really do my best when, whether it's work I do with clients or content that I share with people in videos or blogging or live events, I really do my best to have very practical tools and resources that people can use and that are not a 700-page book, that are quick and easy to learn about. That doesn't mean that they're super easy to always fully implement. However, I like creating things that make life better for people and that are not overwhelming to learn. So, and I guess another reason I like to help people is, both my parents were teachers and lifelong teachers, and they never forced me to be a teacher, but I've been a teacher and coach since high school with all kinds of different things, whether it's sports or CPR or, like I say now, Universal Sphere Energy Tool, or I worked in the financial industry. I was always coaching and teaching clients and coworkers stuff. So I've just always kind of been a teacher and a coach, and I just generally love helping people improve their lives and make their lives better, more enjoyable, and ideally more easier and more mentally stable.
Beautiful. You know, I love it when people take their own personal struggles and they can just help other people in ways that somebody who hasn't been there before just can't do it. You know, like, as much as, yes, psychologists and coaches and therapists and whatnot, they've done the work, they've studied, they've got the education, but they don't have the experience. They don't understand the struggle the same way that somebody like yourself does. So I would imagine that that helps you to really resonate more with your potential clients.
It's so true. Yeah, I agree 100%, Jessica. Like, again, as I mentioned before, I would never discount anyone's training. Like, I admire anyone with advanced education that spent years of their life studying and et cetera, et cetera. But I do admit that the medical professionals that I follow personally and that I learn from, they tend to be people with lived experience. And as a quick example, I remember this is about 5 years ago, I'd started my business and I was working as a server in Banff. That was my primary source of income. And I remember one time as a slow night, and I had this couple, older couple, and they got talking and they were just really nice and they were curious. And they said to me, oh, so they noticed I was a little bit older than most of the servers where I was working. And they said, oh, well, we're curious. Like, what do you do in your spare time? And how did you end up in Banff? And so I kind of started telling them my story. And then I told them I'd started this business. And they said, oh, what's your business? And I said, well, I help people diagnosed with bipolar disorder have better mental stability. And the guy, the man, he gave me like a really kind of scornful look. And he says to me, well, I'm a psychiatrist. Are you a psychiatrist? And I said, no. And he said, well, what qualifies you to do that? And I said, well, I have 16 years of lived experience. And at that point, I was 6 years med free with the full support of my doctor and my psychiatrist. So I told him that. And he said, well, that doesn't matter. You have no credentials. Mm-hmm. And then I just said to him, you know what? I think we're done with this conversation. Because I was just burning up inside. Like, I wanted to tell him off, honestly. But obviously in that case, like, well, I'm an employee, he's a customer. And he's basically telling me that I'm in a nice way that I'm full of, you know what, but it's like, hey buddy, I've lived with this for 16 years. I'm med free. I'm stable. I have people asking me for advice. And yeah, I always am fully, fully honest with people. I am not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I do not have an advanced degree that specializes in mental health, mental illness, but I've done many courses and I've had lived experience. And most importantly, I'm mentally stable. And so that was an interesting experience with that gentleman. And I'm glad that I bit my tongue because, like I said, I really wanted to tell him off, but I definitely held back and I just said, yeah, we're done here. So,
well, and I think it's interesting, the word credentials, You know, like just because you have education, is that deemed, that's what's deemed credentials, but actually having lived through it with the experience, that's not credentials. Like, it's just really interesting, right? How people want to see things.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, even at that point in time, like when I think back, like, wow, I had seen so many psychiatrists, psychologists, nurses, therapists, coaches, had so many different types of therapy, et cetera. And it's like, wow, like I had, and then I'd seen so many non-traditional medical people as well, like healers and mentors and advanced health specialists in a variety of areas. And yeah, so I think he thought that I was just someone who had just wanted to do this and really had no idea what I was doing because I didn't have this master's or PhD. But like you say, the credentials without the experience, to me, it's kind of like being a mechanic but not knowing how to use a wrench in a way, you know. Like, maybe that's not the best analogy, but I don't know. That's hopefully people kind of see my point there, though. It's like, yeah, as you know, the book smarts are great, but the combination of the book smarts and lived experience for me with medical professionals is a massive difference. Like, I know someone in Edmonton that I just started following, and she is a doctor and she lives with bipolar disorder. So of course, someone like her, it's like, wow, like to me, that's ideal because she's living with it. She's honest about her experience, and then she's a doctor. So
yeah, that's a whole new level right there. That's a superpower that she's got.
Totally, exactly. Yeah. And of course, yeah, as you know, she doesn't have to be so honest about her lived experience, but she is, and that's amazing. And I just love seeing, you know, more medical professionals that are doing that now, which is wonderful to see.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you willing to share even just some of the ideas or the tools that you use when you're working with your clients?
Oh, just certainly.
People can get a feel for the kind of work that you would do with somebody.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to. Thanks for asking. So I've developed something called the Lift Me Up Toolkit. And essentially, it's a series of tools that help people to feel better when they're feeling down, when they're feeling having a bad day, or when they're feeling mildly depressed. And I think there's 15 or 16 tools, and then there's already some more that I'll be adding to the next version of that. And out of all those tools, there's always certain ones that resonate with people. And for myself, there's two main tools that I use. And one of them, it's actually called the Lift Me Up file. And I actually have a digital Lift Me Up file and a physical Lift Me Up file. And what I love about the Lift Me Up file is it's essentially a folder in my personal email, and they are texts, messages, emails, and transcribed voice messages that where other people have said really good things about me. So what I love about that Lift Me Up digital file is that anywhere I am that has an internet connection, I can open up my email, I can bring up that folder. I'm pretty fortunate. I've got well over 200 messages in there from a variety of family and friends. And it's other people in their words telling me what I'm good at or what they like about me or something I did very well or something they admire about me or something I did that inspired them. And what's so amazing about that is that it's someone else that's saying that about me, and it's getting me out of my own head. So for me, that's an incredible resource to have when I am having a bad day, when I am feeling a little bit low or having a very challenging day, because like I say, it's people in my life that have said all these different things about me. And then that same tool, I have a physical version of that. So that's like cards and letters and those sorts of things that are in a physical file. And so that's one of the main tools I use. And of course, that sort of tool, it does take a bit of time to develop that. However, when I have worked with some clients or led a workshop on that, I've always, you know, all of us, we can always remember a text or an email that we've received from one of our best friends or family member, spouse, et cetera, that we remember. So that's always the starting point to say, okay, remember one or two of those, pull those into this digital file, and then slowly build on it. And like one exercise I'll do with people to kind of stoke the fire there. If they're really struggling, is I'll say to them, hey, think of the three people in your life you're the closest to, and ask them to tell you what you rock at, what you're great at, what they admire about you. And then you can either voice record that or type notes or write notes. And then those can become files in that Lift Me Up digital file. So so for me, that's honestly one of the main resources I use from that Lift Me Up toolkit. And then the second one that I use a lot is I will do energy work, a universal sphere for somebody else I know who's struggling or having a challenging time. Because even when I am, anyone who's listening that's ever felt depressed, it can always feel, or it tends to feel like we're alone, that no one has any idea what we're going through. And in my experience, when I am feeling low and depressed, it's all about me. It's like my life sucks and I'm not thinking about anybody else. I'm just thinking about how my life sucks. And the nice thing about doing energy work or praying or sending positive thoughts or good vibes to somebody else is that it's a reminder that, okay, there are also other people that are struggling for whatever reason. And there again, the nice thing about that is when I do energy work for somebody else without them knowing, it gets me out of my own head. And bottom line is it helps me feel a little bit better. So it's like, wow, whether they know it or not, I just kind of help somebody. So like I say, those are the two main tools that I use from that toolkit. And there's a number of other tools in there that may resonate with people as well.
Oh, I think that's beautiful. I like the Lift Me Up toolbox, or what I think that's what you called it. Your files that you use. Because from my point of view, I've had moments with my business where it's like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Should I keep going? We have all those, you know, those thoughts and whatnot that come up. And it seems that the universe likes to send me messages at that moment. And that's when I'll get a random text from somebody, or, you know, somebody will post something on Facebook and they'll tag me in a memory, and it'll just sort of take me back to reminding the reason of why I am going to keep doing what I do. So I can definitely speak to the difference that that's made for me in just some of those moments. So I can imagine having an entire file full of those to be able to remind you must be very powerful.
It's very true. Cause like I say, I'm immensely grateful that when I, like even right now, I can pull up that file and I see like I've got 240 messages.
Wow.
In there. 218, my mistake, 218. And yeah, I mean, and there's a bunch lately that because I just had my birthday recently, and then fairly recently was World Bipolar Day, and I did some social media posts and some people posted some really kind things about me. So there again, there's other messages that I could add. I just haven't added them yet. Like the last message I put in there was from March 31st. So yeah, it's just an incredible resource. And it's just wonderful to look through there and see all the different names. And like I say, some of them are family, most of them are friends. And you know, it goes back, I guess for me, I started that file in, just double checking here, it was quite a while ago, 2018. So, you know, it was like 3 years ago that I started proactively adding to that file. But just something I slowly add to. And yeah, it's a wonderful thing to go through. Mm-hmm. I personally think everyone could benefit from a Lift Me Up file, whether they have a mental illness or not, whether they struggle with depression or not, because we all have bad days, whether we love our job or not, whether we're single or not, whether we have a family or not, whether we have a business, etc. And anything that can help us feel even a tiny bit better when we're having a bad day, I feel is a very good resource to have.
Absolutely. And do you find that on those days that you even need to go into the files, or does even just knowing that it's there, does that help you? I would imagine just knowing that it's there would even have a little bit of an impact.
Yeah, it's a good question. I do find for me, just simply thinking about the fact that I have a couple hundred messages from a wide variety of people, that instantly helps me feel a little better. And then I will still go in and read some of the messages for sure. But it usually, again, I don't want to make it sound like a light switch, like it's instant. But, you know, I would say more often than not, after I've read a few messages and it just starts to lift my mood, I start to feel a little bit better. And then it's like, okay, all of a sudden, maybe I've gone for a walk and maybe I've done a bit of cleaning or whatever. And then all of a sudden, the day just seems a little brighter.
Beautiful. I love, you know, and it's great to have those tools that, you know, you can access, like you said, you can access it anywhere that you have a Wi-Fi connection, right? So it doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It doesn't take a lot of anything. It's just like, open up your email, open up a folder, and there it is. So I think that's a fabulous tool.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always there. It's always available. And you know, at some point, who knows, I might even just print them all. So I just have them offline. I don't know if I'll do that at some point, but yeah, I could easily do that as well. So that they truly always be available without even an internet connection.
You could print them off and put them on your cinder block wall behind your
yeah.
So you could lift it up whenever you want and see them.
That's true. That's very true. Something to consider. I could have them on like different colors of paper, right? So
there
to add some color to the white cinder block wall.
Absolutely.
underneath the nature tapestry.
So when the nature's not quite doing it for you anymore, you can pull back the curtain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Instead of the Wizard of Oz, there'll be some magical, colorful pieces of paper with some wonderful messages on them.
Beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
So you also have an event that you do in Christmas.
That's right. Thanks for asking. So it's called You Are Not Alone. It's a depression education and awareness event. Last year was the third annual event. And last year was different because of the pandemic. And at first I was disappointed because a friend of mine, he had kindly offered his business location. Essentially, it's a beautiful cabin. It's literally right in the middle of Banff and it's very well looked after. And he said to me, hey, you can use this for the event. I'm like, wow. Cause in the first 2 years, it was a drop-in style event. And then in Alberta here, as we got close to the end of November, things were starting to tighten up in terms of restrictions. And I thought, okay, I better move this to online. And at first I was disappointed. But then I thought, well, maybe it'll be a little better online. Who knows? So then I started brainstorming. I'm like, well, who can I get to talk at the event? So I just kind of started brainstorming friends and family, either who have lived experience with depression and come out the other side, or people who are struggling a little bit now and are comfortable sharing, people who have potentially had suicidal thoughts or even potentially committed suicide personally. And then I also thought, well, I do know people who have businesses who help people with mental health, with depression. So I started brainstorming and then I just started reaching out to people and I thought, oh, maybe a third of them, maybe half will be interested and available. And I just kept getting yeses and yeses and yeses. And so I actually ended up extending the length of the event and I ended up having 30 people involved. So I ended up having, I think it was 24 speakers. They were like 10-minute talks. And then I had a handful of friends teach classes and workshops. And then I had a buddy of mine do an acoustic concert. And and then one local company, just this very generous woman, she said, oh, she was originally going to talk at the event. And then she'd something come up. She couldn't talk. And I said, hey, that's no problem. She said, well, I'd like to donate something. Maybe you can do a draw prize. And before that, I hadn't even considered that. So the item she donated was worth, I think, $350, which was extremely generous. So then I got thinking, well, maybe I can reach out to some other companies and get some more draw prizes. And then it just kind of snowballed. And we ended up with $2,100 in draw prizes. And the nice thing is that the vast majority of those videos are on my business YouTube channel. So if people have any desire, they can check them out. And most importantly for me, I had a few people reach out to me that either I know personally or that I don't know. And they said that there was one person that said something that helped them. And that's the whole reason that I did that event, was to think of that one person who does really struggle. Because I admit, even with all my experience and tools and experience, Christmas for me is still a pretty challenging time, and I'm not ashamed to say that. And a lot of people struggle at Christmas. Without going on a big tangent, you know, I think part of it is that growing up in North America, we've all seen the Hollywood movies. We've all, a lot of us, myself included, some people tend to have this picture of ideal Christmas in their head. And you know, for a variety of reasons, my Christmas is very untraditional, very atypical. And, you know, in my case, my parents have both passed away. And I have to admit, that's a time of year I really miss my parents. And so for me, it might sound a little selfish, but that event actually really helps me. And when I was interviewing these different family and friends, I was actually learning stuff. And yeah, so it's an event that I really love doing, and that will be happening again this year, December as well. And I decided that moving forward, I'm gonna keep it strictly, well, mostly online. At some point, I'd like to have a hybrid where people could come if they'd like to, and maybe play a game or have a chat or whatever. But I do admit that in years past, we didn't get a lot of people come to the event physically. And in some ways I get it, because it's like, I know even me, when I've been depressed, I usually don't want to go somewhere and talk about being depressed or have someone attempt to cheer me up or whatever. So who knows? Who knows exactly this year, but I think more than likely it'll be predominantly online, and with the possibility of also a drop-in as well.
Oh, that's amazing. I agree. I mean, I'm lucky my parents are still with me, and I do have a nice big family, but single, and my son is older. And so, you know, from a divorce, I don't even necessarily get to see my son on Christmas Day. And just, yeah. So, you know, Christmas can be difficult for a lot of people for lots of different reasons. So I think it's amazing that you recognize that and provide some place for people to go where they can be with, other people that are also, you know, maybe it isn't the best time of year for them. So thank you for doing that. It's amazing.
Oh, my pleasure. And like I say, thanks for sharing with yourself. Cause like you say, I think, I'm single as well. And yeah, I think depends on everyone's experience and where they live, et cetera. But yeah, I think, you know, not to generalize too much, but I would say in general for single people, I think Christmas is, I'll just say, potentially a little bit harder, but I know that depends on the person too. So.
Yeah, for sure. We don't want to take away from anybody else's issues, but it's a unique situation.
For sure. Exactly. Yeah.
So awesome. Okay. So if somebody wanted to reach out to you, learn more about your events, learn about how maybe they can get involved in your events, or also learn about the work that you do, the Universal Sphere, and learn more about your Lift Me Up toolkit and things like that, where would they go to find you?
Sure. Thanks for that. The by far the best is to go to my website. So it's tiaho.org, TIAHO.org. And, you know, I've got social media. So I've got YouTube with a lot of different videos on mania, depression, on the fundraising awareness hikes we've done with all of them since 2017. I've done live videos during the event. So those have been uploaded to the YouTube. And also, I'm a teacher on an app, a meditation app called Insight Timer. So that's a way that people can listen to audios that I've created as well. And the Lift Me Up toolkit that I mentioned before, for people who are curious about that, just go to the homepage of tiaho.org, and you'll actually see the Lift Me Up toolkit, and you just put in your email to receive it. And if anyone is really interested specifically in the awareness events, there's actually a dedicated page on my website, which is under events and awareness events. And that shows all the upcoming events. And also you can read about all the previous events. And if anyone would like to join in for the upcoming Banff 24 Hours for Bipolar in person, they're more than welcome. At the time of the recording here, it's looking pretty good that people will be able to join. And there again, if anyone listening anywhere, either with their where they work or their business, if they'd like to donate a silent auction item towards that event, that'd be greatly appreciated. I know like last year, I had friends from multiple countries donate virtual draw prizes. and a lot of local companies donated physical draw prizes as well. So yeah, that's another way people could get involved. And I would say too, that for anyone listening out there, if they have anyone in their life, whether it's family or friends that they know has bipolar disorder, I'd really encourage them to consider sharing this podcast with them, because this podcast might potentially give that person a bit of optimism. Because I know for me, I'm going back a ways, but I was diagnosed in 2000, and obviously it's a different world now in a lot of good ways. And when I was first diagnosed, there weren't a lot of inspiring, optimistic stories about bipolar disorder out there. And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I just think that, you know, I'm proof that a person can have a seemingly normal life, whatever normal is, you know, despite having this diagnosis. And I do feel that, and I've had people tell me that, you know, I've helped to give them a bit of either inspiration or hope in their life. So yeah. And I mean, one of the great things about nowadays is with social media and YouTube, et cetera, is that there's more and more people like me that are sharing their stories about mental health and their journey. And so there's more and more people now that are making people know and fully trust that they are not alone, and that there are a lot of people out there to help, like myself, and there's a lot of amazing content out there. So yeah, so basically in a nutshell, just go to my website. That's by far the easiest, and that can branch everywhere from there: events, social media, etc., and the toolkit.
And they can contact you through your website as well if somebody does want to contribute to your BAMF 24 hours. They can reach you through your website as well?
Certainly, yeah. So they can just go to the contact page and send me an email. And then closer to the event, we will have like a dedicated post on my website where people can actually donate through a web link and that sort of thing, if they'd like to just make a simple cash donation, etc. But yeah.
Awesome. And I agree with you, like, not that I want to, you know, toot my own horn or anything, but you know, having a platform like this allows me to bring people like yourself on so that we can share that, you know, the hope for people, right? Is I call it one of the reasons that I love to have people come on and share their stories in particular is so that they can share what I call the transfer of belief, right? So when somebody listens to your story and sees how well you've been able to, you know, find tools that work for you and support networks and whatnot, and actually, like you say, you're now living, you know, air quotes, normal life, like the rest of us, right?
That's right.
You know, that I would think that that alone would give somebody hope to, you know, just even just start to look harder for a resource or reach out to somebody like yourself, or even be willing to share a struggle that they're going through with somebody, like maybe just allow themselves to be more vulnerable and take that first step towards finding a solution for themselves, just because they've heard your story and they know now that it is actually possible. So I appreciate you coming on and being vulnerable and just sharing, you know, what you've shared with us today. So.
Oh, thanks. My pleasure. And yeah, I'll just quickly say, obviously I could say a lot about my bipolar journey. I'll just share something really quick, is that, you know, when I knew things were strange and I wasn't quite yet diagnosed, I remember talking with my mom, and I remember I said to her, I just want to feel normal again. And, you know, a lot of people that I've talked to that have been recently diagnosed, that's a common expression, is that they want to feel normal again. So I'm optimistic that anyone out there listening to this can, you know, possibly get some optimism and hope, whether it's for them or for a loved one or family member, friend that potentially has a bipolar diagnosis. And yeah, to let them know that there are normal people out there living with this diagnosis.
Yeah, and people like yourself that are offering solutions and tools and help.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
I think a lot of times people just assume that the only option is maybe, and again, we're not saying anything negative about, you know, psychologists and therapists, but you know, everybody has to find what works for them. So it's just nice to even know that there's options.
Oh, totally. Exactly.
So awesome. Well, before I let you go, I have to ask all of my guests one last question.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. I was just thinking yes. that.
I forewarn you guys so that you can be prepared. Okay, so if you could give somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level one piece of advice, what would you suggest?
I would say to be radically open-minded.
Ooh.
And that's actually the same advice I give to anyone regarding their mental health, whether they have a diagnosed mental illness or not, because I feel that by being radically open-minded, first of all, it allows us to release judgment, because sometimes we'll hear of a new idea that just seems too whacked or it just seems too out there. And our rational mind will discount that and push it aside. And I've done that many times where it's like, no, that's too weird. That won't work. That's crap, whatever. I'll just say in my experience, the more I do my best to embrace being radically open-minded, the more out of the box things I hear about, the more out of the box things that I attempt to do. And it just makes it a lot more interesting. And in my experience, again, I just find that I have more possibilities and more things come into my sphere of influence that otherwise wouldn't have if I would have been a little more closed-minded. So yeah, I would just encourage people out there to be radically open-minded in terms of their business, because in today's day and age, there are, as you probably know, there are so many business models. There are so many ways to earn a living with your business. There are so many things we can do. And we can truly find what works for us. And I just find in my experience that the more open-minded I am, the more I'm exposed to and the more I hear about and the more it kind of gets my brain going, you know? So that would be my takeaway.
Oh, I love that. Radically open-minded. I have never heard that before, but I'm going to quote you on that for sure.
Oh, cool. I love that. And just, you know, I didn't come up with that term. I'll just quickly say that the first time I came across that term, you might find this interesting, was a gentleman named Ray Dalio. And he is a billionaire. And he wrote a book a few years ago. I can't remember the name of it, but it got a lot of traction. But basically, he has a son that has bipolar disorder, that lives with bipolar disorder. And his son created a film about where the two main characters were an intimate couple that both had bipolar disorder. So as you can guess, Ray Dalio is someone that has a very vested interest in bipolar disorder because of his son. And so Ray Dalio is someone that I follow on Instagram, and I saw him post about being radically open-minded. And I was like, wow, I just love that. Cause I've said for a long time that I'm open-minded, but to me, radically open-minded is, as you know, kind of another level to that.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you're going to be open-minded, I mean, why not go big or go home, right?
Totally. Go for the gusto. Exactly.
Oh, I love it. Awesome. Oh my goodness, Scott. It was so great to have you on the show. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I'm really excited for both of your events coming up, and I wish them a wonderful success. So I think it's amazing what you're doing in the world and helping people. So
thank you. I greatly appreciate your kind, supportive words. And once again, thank you so much for this opportunity to be on your podcast today. I really enjoyed this, and the time really went so fast. I just looked at the time like, holy crap. It's over in a good way.
Well, so. Okay, but maybe it doesn't have to be, because I think we also talked about potentially having you come back and go deeper into some more of the work that you do. So if you're open to that, then the conversation does not have to end, just has to end for today.
Oh, yes, I would love that. I would really appreciate that. And the next time I will do my best to, I'll just say, deliver a group experience that I feel everyone could truly benefit from.
Beautiful. I look forward to that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, my pleasure.
And that's another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs.